Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless. Challenge us to remove the mask. So for Mother's Day, as we celebrate the mothers, we're going to hear something that's going to, I believe, be a challenge as well as a conviction for us on today. Will you do me a favor if you have your Bibles, your book of instruction before leaving Earth? I invite your attention to Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2. If you found it, we invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. You have an iPhone, an Android, Google Glass, and iPad, something like that, or you can look on the screen. Exodus chapter number 2. We're going to begin with verse number 11. Verse number 11. So, Micah, I need you to wake up and go to verse number 11. Thank you, son.
Verse number 11
for Exodus chapter number 2. It says this, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." I want to stop right there. This is the word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated in the presence of God. Now, for somebody that's used to coming here every week, you're already throwing off. Because normally at this point, I introduce my sermon. That's not how it's going to happen today. So I need y'all to definitely stay in tune to the word of God on today. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you. We thank you now for this day, for this opportunity to hear and study your word. I pray now, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit Divine. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking at Moses. Listen, brothers and sisters, I have found this to be so true in life. It's helpful to know where you've been in order to appreciate where you're going. It's helpful to know where you've been in order to appreciate where you're going. Let me describe it another way. My sons, Micah, Nathan, they have a tendency to say some things like, "Daddy, I want these new shoes." Let's say this morning, my son, Nathan, he got up, he climbed up on the refrigerator, made himself a bowl of Cheerios. Then I'm sitting down looking over the sermon. I saw him eat a bowl of Cheerios. Micah comes. Micah gets a bowl of Cheerios. Nathan gets back up. Nathan goes back to the refrigerator, climbs back up, gets a bowl of Cheerios. I say, "Hold up, son. Cheerios don't come for free." The difference, though, is they have to begin to appreciate. I told y'all on last Sunday, you know, we used to have the box of cereals that just said cereal on the front. They was all white box. It was not cornflakes, not Kellogg's, just cereal. Once you've been there and you've had powdered milk, you can appreciate Cheerios with a little honey toasted. Oh my God. Once you know where you've been, you can definitely appreciate where you are going. Check this out. There is a bird called the Tsingkhofa bird. You can go ahead and put that up. The Tsingkhofa bird. I want to help us understand this. It's an Adinkra symbol, the Tsingkhofa bird. It comes from the Twi language in Ghana, and it translates, go back and get it. So in other words, it's painting the picture. If you've got something in your history that you need to grab to help you going forward, then go back and get it. It is helpful to know where you've been in order to appreciate where you are going. It's helpful to know the history in order to celebrate the destiny. Many cultural anthropologists believe, watch this, that it is the women in a society that carry the history of a society. Let me tell it another way for black folk. It's Big Mama Nim that sits you around the table, that begins to tell you the stories of, baby, this is how we got over. Cultural anthropologists say it is the women who hold the stories of a society and they pass it on. And in a very real sense, it makes sense, because the men would have gone off to war and a son would never know who his father was or what his father did if it wasn't for the woman to say, no, baby, your daddy was somebody great. Your daddy was somebody important. It's the women that carry on the story. No, baby, this is how we got from where we were to what we are today. So cultural anthropologists even recognize the importance in the survival of a civilization is on the backs of a woman. So that's anthropology. It's Big Mama's kitchen table that helps us understand how to appreciate what we're going. It's helpful to know your history in order to celebrate your destiny. In the text this morning, brothers and sisters, I have a few questions to ask, and that's going to help us get to the title of the sermon. I've got some perplexing questions. Here we are, Moses, whose name is an Egyptian name, meaning I brought him out of the water. Moses, whose name is an Egyptian name. Moses, who grew up in Pharaoh's palace, raised by Pharaoh's daughter. The text says he sees the Hebrew people, his own people. Hold up, bro. You was raised in the palace as if you were the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Then he saw his own people getting beaten, and he got so enraged that he killed a man. I've got questions. I've got perplexing questions. God, how is it that Moses, who grew up in the palace, well-to-do, saw Hebrew people, his own people, and he was so in tune with them that when he saw them being oppressed, Moses was so enraged that he killed the man? How did Moses get to know he was Hebrew? How did Moses get a value for his own culture? Moses learned to love the people that he came from. Let me paint the picture of the context so we can have a value for the text. Genesis ends with chapter number 50. Genesis ends chapter number 50. Joseph was second in command to Pharaoh. Joseph was a Hebrew. He brought the Hebrew people to Egypt, and Joseph helped save Egypt and the Hebrew people from a drought. Okay. They began to grow there, and they began to build houses. They began to populate. They began to be a strong people. They are now in Egypt. They began to grow and to be wealthy. And Exodus chapter number 1, verse 8 says, then came a new joker who did not know Joseph. He looked out at the Hebrews and he said, hold up. It's way too many of them and too few of us. He was frightened by the Hebrew people and he thought there was too many. So he called for population control. And the way he did it was a known strategy. Watch this. He frightened the Egyptians by saying to them, first, they'll outnumber us. It's too many immigrants here. And then they will begin to dominate our culture. And so we need population control so we can keep having our own way. The way they did that was a known strategy. So he frightened them. Not only that, he said, if an enemy comes, they will side with our enemy and they will attack us. Pharaoh said, what we're going to do is scare our own people people so we can oppress another people. In other words, Pharaoh said, we gonna label them thugs so that way my own Egyptian people won't mind what I do to the Hebrews, because those are people who are outnumbering us. Those are people who are not like our culture. And so Pharaoh set up a system where he can oppress the Hebrew people. Pharaoh called for them to go under hard labor. Pharaoh said, listen, what we'll do is we'll work them jokers so much that they won't want to have babies. We'll work them so much that they won't have enough time for Al Green. No, it's going to work. And so he does that. The Bible says that the more they oppress them, the more they grew. The more he gave them hard labor, the more they kept having babies. And so Pharaoh said, okay, this ain't what I had in mind. And so he goes back and he regroups. Pharaoh says, okay, working them hard enough ain't gonna do it. For whatever reason, that just makes them go home more stressed out, more tense, and they find a way to make more babies. So he said, okay, what we're gonna do then is we'll have the midwives, call the Hebrew women in, call the midwives in. And he says to them, listen, when them Hebrew women start to have a child, and you're there ready to catch the baby, if it's a male baby, kill him. If it's a male baby, kill him. We gotta get this population control thing in order. My brothers and my sisters, that leads us to our first point. The support of midwives. Oh, I love this thing. The support of midwives. Listen to this. Whenever you see a woman's name in the Bible, pay attention to it. It is not there by accident. Whenever you see a woman's name in the Bible, pay attention. It is not there by accident. Exodus chapter number 1 verse 15 says this, that Pharaoh told two women, Shipra and Puah. Wait a minute. He mentioned their name, not Pharaoh's name. Don't know what he was called, but the two sisters, their name was Shipra and Puah, to kill the male babies. And the Bible says that they feared God and dared to defy the king of Egypt. They had been given instructions. When the baby boy comes out, kill him. If you don't kill him, in other words, I will kill you. And the Bible says that these sisters feared God enough that they were concerned about children that weren't even their babies. They're saying, I'm going to look out for this baby and I won't kill him. Pharaoh finds out that the babies are not dying. He calls them in and he says, hold up, what's the problem here? Why aren't you killing the babies? And they say, what happened was, you know, them Egyptian women, y'all nice and delicate. The Hebrew sisters, they strong. And so they just push the baby right on out. And so by the time we get there, the baby is already there. And so we can't kill the baby. This is so important because it shows us the power of community. It shows us that the midwives were concerned with somebody else's baby because they realized that in this baby carries on my legacy. You don't have to have my last name. You don't have to live in my house. But child, I'm concerned about you. I've got a question for us today, my brothers and my sisters. What happened to the midwives in our society? What happened to the neighbors who cared about the children in their neighborhood? What happened to the aunts and aunties and great aunties that cared about nieces and nephews as if they were their own children? What happened to the candy lady who looked out the window to watch the little children playing to make sure that nobody came by to hurt them? What happened to the school teachers who dared to care about the child even after the class bell rang? What happened to the midwives in our society? So many of us want to be like Beyonce and Lemonade, but we don't want to concern ourselves with somebody else's child in the neighborhood that we know can't read, and we know we can help them, but we don't want to be the midwives anymore. Our society needs more midwives who would dare to defy the cultural mandate and look out for people from their own culture. It was the midwives who were willing to defy Pharaoh in order to keep the babies alive. Pharaoh said, okay. Having the midwives do it, that ain't gonna work. Pharaoh says, okay, we gotta do something about it. Pharaoh says, what we'll do is have the mamas throw the babies in the Nile River. Have the mothers, once they have a baby boy, the daughters they can keep, but the boys, throw them in the Nile River. Now, there's a couple reasons why he said this. He didn't say kill him.
Because once they get a little bigger, you got clean on it up. And so they threw waste and trash in the Nile River and it went downstream.
So he said, listen, have them put them in the river and I ain't got to worry about them. Have them take their own child, put them in the river so that they'll die in the water. My brothers and my sisters, that leads us to our second point, and that is the sacrifices of a mama. The sacrifices mama made. Here it is. The sacrifices mama made. Exodus 2 tells us that a woman named Jochebed gave birth to a baby boy. And because it was a boy, she was supposed to throw him in the Nile River to his death. But she risked her life and she hid him for about 3 months. She kept him in the house where he was going to be sleeping a lot, so ain't nobody going to know about it. She hid him for about 3 months. His mother sacrificed her personal security to keep her child safe. But when she could not hide him anymore, she sat home and she made a whisker basket and she tried to make it as comfortable as she could for her son. And one day she put the baby in the wicker basket and she walked down to the Nile River. And I could hear the sisters in the community, Dr. Bell, what you got in the basket? None of your business. You mind your business on mine. But Dr. Bell, where you going? I'm just going to take a walk down by the river. Dr. Bell, what's the noise in the basket? Y'all mind your own business. She goes down to the river with her baby in a wicker basket that she has made with her own hands. And I can see Sister Dr. Bell. She leans down by the river. Maybe she's whispering a prayer over her child. God, keep my baby. Keep my baby safe. God, I don't want to put him in the river, but I don't know what else to do, God. So she put him in the river. She watched her baby go up the river. Maybe the current could have taken him under. Maybe some of the Egyptian soldiers would see him, and maybe they'll throw a rock and kill the baby. I don't know what's going to happen to him. Here we see a mother. She's sacrificing by giving up her own child. Not because she didn't love him, but she knew, God, I'm going to put him in your hands because I can't do no more with him. And so the baby floating up the river. The Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter went out and she's in the river. Here comes this basket. This baby maybe was crying in the basket. She saw the basket and she pulled the baby a little closer. And she said, oh, it's a cute baby. And her heart was touched. Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh, the one who said kill all the baby boys. She saw the baby. She took the baby. Check this out. Moses' sister Miriam was right there. And she said, oh man, was that a baby boy? Maybe we ought to find a midwife to take care of him. And she said, go ahead and do that. She runs back home. She said, mama, we found Moses. We want you to come take care of him. And watch what had to happen. Her child is now in the palace. The child she loves. But at this point, Jochebed would have had to put on a mask. Here's why. I can't let him know. That's my baby. So, Jochebed had to put on a mask to go in to somebody else's house who's holding her baby. Ma'am, I heard you look for a midwife. Can I hold the baby? Sure. Go ahead and take care of him. Make sure you feed him. Here it is. She sacrificed in front of all the Egyptians as if she didn't know her own child. She sacrificed her own personal integrity for the safety of her child. My brothers and my sisters, when you begin to think about the sacrifices that your mama made just for you. Mama, why didn't you finish your degree? Well, baby, once I had you, I had to make sure I worked another job so I could feed you. Mama, why did you stay in a relationship so long, baby? I didn't know where I was going to live, so I ain't doing more for you to have a roof over your head. Mama, why don't you have more clothes, baby? Because I wanted to make sure that you were well taken care of. And so I was willing to sacrifice so that you could have more, my brothers and my sisters. When you began to go back down memory lane and think about some of the sacrifices mama made, we see that happening with Jochebed. There's a story of a little boy. He's sitting in the class, math class, and his teacher said, I want to give you all
an assignment to help you understand fractions.
Teacher says,
listen, I want you to imagine that you're sitting at the dinner table with your mother and your two brothers and your sister. And your mother has made a pie. She's gonna cut the pie for every single person. So it's you, your two brothers, your sister, and your mother at the table. What portion of the pie would you get? The little boy said, ma'am, I would get 1/4. She said, no, let me help you to understand it again. So there's 5 people at the table, and so your mother cuts it for everyone. So she says, what's your fraction? The little boy said, yes, I understand. My fraction is 1/4. She said, no, son, it's 1/5. He says, no, ma'am, no, it's 1/4. She said, oh, you just don't understand fractions. She said, no, ma'am, you don't understand my mama. Let me help you to understand. Every night, my mama makes food for us, and she sits down at the table. She gives me a plate. She gives my two brothers a plate. She gives my little baby sister a plate. And then I sit and I watch my mama looking at us. And every now and then, there'll be some tears in her eyes. And I say, mama, what's wrong? Don't you want something to eat? And my mama will look at me and she say, no, baby, y'all go ahead on and eat. I learned that my mama made sure we had. And so while you think it's 1/5, at my mama's table, it's 1/4. Because she made sure her babies ate. She was willing to sacrifice for us. Brothers and sisters, when we begin to think about mamas, think about the sacrifice that mamas made just so we could get ahead in life. But we understand the role the midwives played. Got that. We understand Moses' mama made some sacrifice so her baby stay alive. The question still begs to be answered. How did Moses learn he was a Hebrew? How did Moses develop a value for his own culture? How did Moses, the dude who wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, how did he even learn this stuff? I love it. My brothers and my sisters, the only way that Moses could have learned who he was and whose he was by the stories mama told him. That's the title of our sermon today, the stories that mama told. My brothers and my sisters, what got us through, what gets us through, is the stories from our ancestors that continually passed down through mama and them, letting us know through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And so if you're looking for a title, you might want to write that in there, stories that mama told. Here it is. I'm a country boy. I've shared this with y'all before. And I can remember sitting on the front porch, probably shucking some corn or snapping some peas. And I would just listen to my grandmother tell stories. She would tell all kinds of stories about her mother and grandmother and stuff that they went through. Then, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, my mama and them, her sisters, they would get around the table. And I remember one story, they painted a picture of, they wanted to be pretty little girls, and they wanted to go to school with their hair done, and so they wanted bowrets like everybody else had bowrets. But my grandmother didn't have bowrets. What she had was hangers for the clothesline, and she began to put that in her children's hair, sort of because, baby, I don't have much, but what I have, I'm going to use it as best as I can. So my mama, she's cute now, but when she went to school with bowrets, not bowrets, but no, clothes hangers in her hair, just because she had to make do with what she had. So another way, my mama, she drives a nice car now. I drive a nice car now. But I remember we had this car called Betsy. Betsy, y'all. Listen, y'all understand. Everybody had some kind of a Betsy in your life before. Betsy didn't really even have a model name. It was just called Betsy. I don't know who made Betsy Brown car. We was glad when Betsy started. We was glad when Betsy started moving. We was glad we stopped at a red light and Betsy didn't die on us. We was just glad Betsy got us from point A to point B. If we made the point C, that's a reason to shout. Betsy been good to us all today. That's Betsy, you know, Betsy is one of those cars where the heat don't really work, and in the summertime, you roll the windows down, and you're just trying to stay warm or stay cool. My brothers and my sisters, that's Betsy. The reason we can value what we have now is because of the stories we've been told, because we know where we have come from. Let's put it another way. Some of y'all who are city folk, you grew up in the D.C. area, You can remember, as soon as school was out, you had one way trip. North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, you was sitting with grandmama there. You sitting on the creek, you just fishing. You digging up worms and stuff. You was a city child, but your parents knew sending them back where we came from so that they value what we have and realize it ain't always been like this. You may not be where you want to be, but thank God that you can celebrate your destiny because you know a little bit about your history. Moses, how did you learn what you know? Moses, how did you learn to value your culture? Moses would say, my mama wore a mask in front of the Egyptians because that kept me alive. My mama couldn't let them know that I was her child. Oh, but when she would get me in her arms, she began to whisper to me. Everybody else had gone out the room. My mama, she would take off that mask and she used to impress them Egyptian folk. And my mama would show me who she was. She would say, baby, I'm your mama. Baby, I had to put you in a basket so that I could keep you alive. She would say, baby, you're from a great people. Baby, you're from a wonderful people. Baby, the God we serve loves you. Baby, you are somebody. My mama whispered to me at night. So in other words, Moses would say, at night, my brothers and my sisters, I did not hear Mary had a little lamb. I heard that the God we serve has blessings in store for you. Moses would say, I didn't hear about a Little Red Riding Hood. I heard in the beginning, our God made the heavens and the earth. I did not hear about the three little pigs. I heard it was a great people that I was from, a beautiful people that I descended from, a chosen people that I came from. I didn't hear about Humpty Dumpty sitting on a wall or three blind mice. I learned my history so that I could better understand my destiny. I heard my mama say, God has something in store for you. God has blessings for you. You are here for a reason and for a purpose. And I didn't really understand it then. But one day, I was watching my father-in-law's animals, and I'm standing on the side of a mountain. And all of a sudden, this burning bush got started. And I heard my own name saying, Moses, Moses, you're standing on holy ground. And some kind of way, I knew that's my mama's God, the one she had been telling me about. And for that reason, I am who I am because I know my history. I can celebrate my destiny. And the only way I know my history is because of the stories mama told me. My brothers and my sisters, we have to celebrate the stories that we hear. Question has to be asked. Now, Moses, how did you write Genesis? Because that was before you. Moses, how did you learn the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joshua? How did you learn those stories of Joseph? Moses would say, our history was an oral history. Every night, my mama would rock me to sleep. She began to tell me, son, in the beginning, our God created heaven and earth. Son, our God made a promise to our Abraham that he was going to make us prosperous and give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Our God has promised us great things. And he heard those stories, and that's what enabled him to write it for us to continue to read it today. My brothers and my sisters, it's the stories that we have to help us get to and to celebrate our destiny. Anthropologists have said, it's the mothers. It's the women in society that carry the history of a civilization on their backs. Had it not been for the willingness of the midwives to defy Pharaoh, we wouldn't have a Moses. Had it not been for a mother's willingness to sacrifice, we wouldn't have a Moses. We wouldn't even have our Bible. Had it not been for mama's story, many of us wouldn't be here today. There's another story, and I'm out of your way. Jochebed is an illustration for us of how you wear a mask, but you got to know when to take it off. So Jochebed wore a mask in front of the Egyptians, but when she got near her baby, she wanted him to know who she really was. She took the mask off. There's another story, how God wrapped himself in flesh, and he went about doing good. One day they nailed him, one Friday they nailed him on a cross, and to Satan, it looked like sin. To Satan, he saw a mask of your sin and my sin. And he was there on a cross for what you and I did or what we would do. And he died on the cross wearing the mask in essence of your sin and my sins. Jesus knew how to put it on for you and I. They buried him in a tomb. But old preachers from Louisiana put it this way. It's like early Sunday morning. He got up, and once he got up, he took the mask off so that we can see him in his glory, to know that he really is the Son of God. And we have the story, because once he got up, it was the women who said, "Where is he?" And he said, "Go ahead and tell the men that I am now back up." Because it's on the backs of the sisters that the civilization's history continues to reign. It's because of the stories Mama told us that we can celebrate our destiny, because we know our history. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the stories that Mama told. Thank you for sending people in our community who was concerned about us, even if we were not their children. Yes, thank you for the midwives who have prayed us through, helped us through, gave us money just to get through. Lord God, thank you for the midwives who watched us while Mama went to school at night, who let us come to their house after school when nobody was at our house. Thank you for the midwives who were concerned about us. Thank you, Lord God, for the sacrifices that Mama made. Sacrifices that many of us may not even all the way know about, but she's made so many just so that we could get by.
Yes,
thank you, Lord God, for those sacrifices. Then, Lord God, we thank you for the stories that Mama has told. We pray now, Lord God, in this day and age, that you would enable us to tell our stories more. For this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And then all over the sanctuary, brothers and sisters, listen. Stand all over the sanctuary. Moses knew who he was and whose he was because of the stories his mama told him. In our society, we are suffering for a lack of knowledge. Mamas aren't telling the stories anymore. And so children are growing up thinking that they have always had it because Mama doesn't tell the story anymore. My brothers and my sisters, I challenge us all today to, if you are a mama, tell your child how you got over. If you can get in contact with your mama, call and say, "Mama, tell me a little bit about your growing up. Tell me a little bit about our family history, because I need to understand where we've been in order to know where I'm going. I've got to reach back, be a Sankofa and gratitude, because it's worth knowing." Maybe you hear my brother, my sister, and you never realized that Jesus Christ wore your sin and died to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. But today, maybe you're willing to accept the story of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brings to you, that he rose on the third day just to save you and me. If you hear my brother, my sister, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Here at Uplift, we make it very easy for you. You don't have to come down and give me your hand. We invite you to pray a collective prayer with us. Here's why. We pray this collective prayer because we are in this journey together. We are walking this Christian road together. So in other words, when you've got difficult moments, when you've got sad moments, you've got a brother or a sister that's willing to be there for you, to be a shoulder to lean on, to be a shoulder to cry on. But when you've got celebrated moments, you've got a brother and a sister that's going to be there, that's going to shout and be glad and smile and clap for you. And we're in this journey together. So we invite you to pray this collective prayer. Everyone says to repeat after me. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. But I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Because somebody may have made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we thank God for that. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Listen.